Welcome to our Bible study on the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. And as always, I will assume that you have read the passage, that you have your Bible with you, and that you remember our translations may not agree. But not as always, this will be an extremely brief study. The 12th chapter of Exodus brings us very close to the center of the Exodus story, because the Passover was instituted on the very night that Israel was brought out of Egypt. Each time the Passover was celebrated in Israel, the people of God remembered that they were slaves set free by God. It is important to keep in mind that this passage is part of a story that is more about God's actions than human events. Its setting is a history of salvation, the account of God's intervention to set his people free. In that context, our passage is a report of God's instructions to Moses and Aaron concerning the celebration of the Passover. These instructions have the tone and contents of rules established for perpetuity from this moment to forever, and reflects the perspective in Israelites centuries after the events. The instructions are precise and detailed with regard to both time and actions. The month in which the Exodus takes place is to become the first month of the year, and the preparations for the Passover begin on the 10th day of the month, as we see in verses 2 and 3. It is a family celebration, a family ceremony, with a lamb chosen for each household, unless the household is too small for a lamb, in which case neighboring families are to join together to make up the right number to consume the lamb, as we see in verses 3 and 4. A lamb without blemish is to be selected and then killed on the 14th day of the month, as we see in verses 5 and 6. Blood is to be smeared on the lintels, that's the beam at the top of a doorway, and the doorposts of the houses. And the meat is to be roasted and eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, as we see in verses 7 and 9. And the meal is to be eaten in haste, and anything not consumed by morning is to be burned, as we see in verses 10 through 11. After the instructions follows an explanation of the meaning of the meal and of the practices associated with it. The Lord will pass through the land of Egypt to destroy the firstborn, but will see the blood and pass over the Israelites, as we see in verses 12 and 13. Verse 14 stresses that the day is a day of remembrance and forever, so that later generations will remember the Exodus. In both our passage and the later practice, Passover was combined with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Technically, Passover was a one-night communal meal, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a seven-day festival. In later generations, Passover was one of the three major annual pilgrimage festivals. The other two were the Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost, and the Festival of Tabernacles, or Festival of Tents, or Festival of Booths, where people were supposed to come to Jerusalem. The word Passover, the Hebrew word is Pesach, is explained in this passage by connecting it with a verb that means to skip or hop over. Throughout the Old Testament, it refers either to the festival that's described here or to the animal that is killed and eaten. No ceremony was more important in ancient Israel or early Judaism than Passover. To participate in the ritual was to remember and become a part of the story that it celebrated. In this way, they celebrated who they were and who God is. God sets people free and makes them his own, and in this way, Passover bound the people together and to God. Now, let me make something clear about this. The Last Supper that we celebrate as Christians was not a Passover Seder. The Last Supper, one of our most famous stories, according to the Gospels, it takes place on Passover. but it was not a Seder meal. The word Seder means order, and it refers to the ritual meal that was created after the destruction of the Jerusalem temple in the year 70 AD. The ritual meal replaced the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, where they retold the story. And Jesus and his disciples did not go through that same ritual as Jews do today. Also, you will notice that the Passover here was to become the Jewish New Year. The Jewish New Year officially begins on the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, and it's actually coming up, which occurs in the fall. But the Hebrew month that begins with Rosh Hashanah is actually the seventh month of the Jewish year. So is that confusing? Well, yes. And it's an accident of history. In the Torah, the first month of the year is Nisan, which is the month during which Passover falls, which is what we hear here in Exodus 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark you for the beginning of the months. It shall be the first of the months of the year for you." But sometime around the beginning of the Common Era, you know, when the calendar shifts from BC to AD or CE, Jewish leaders, changed the beginning of the official New Year to the time of the autumn harvest, which was consistent with the practices of surrounding cultures, and that's when Rosh Hashanah falls. Even so, with Passover's connection with the onset of spring, it reminds us of the power and importance of new beginnings. Thank you very much for listening. Take care and God bless.